be stressed. You can't be depressed because you're blessed. And we are because John Ashbery is in the building. That's right. John Ashbery, if you've been in Freddie for any length of time whatsoever.
I have, man. I've known Ashbery a long time.
Really?
24 years.
That's right.
You've been here 24 years. Well, when you come to Freddie, you need to meet important people. And if you can't find them, John Ashbery is the person to get to see. John and I go back many, many years, and I hold that friendship as important. He never, you've become this famous author now. You used to be normal, but now, you know, you're out writing books and things like that. So we have to be very careful when, you know, we had to go through like 11 people to get you in here today.
I'm waiting to write the pieces about you like I wrote this late book.
No, please.
That would be a book.
Hey, this is family radio, Frank. Don't start. John, you've written a new book.
Yes.
As long as we remember. I love the titles. And the book that we mostly use here at WFMD, of course, is the... All Our Yesterdays, I think it's what it is, right? Or Yesteryears?
Yes.
And Bob uses that, I think, every morning, if not...
I send Bob... See, since that book came out in 97,
mm-hmm.
I have added historical events that have happened over the years since then.
Right.
And every day I send them to Frank and to Bob.
Good.
Yep.
So that they have the updated version, although some days they're just the ones that are in the book.
Sure.
John's gone digital.
Yep.
Wow.
Just a matter of time. Well, John is local. He has been here. He's been the journalist for years. He is, I don't know if you were editor of the paper or not at one time. I think anybody else was. I'm going to give you that credit. But I noticed in the book you take some names. There have been a lot of famous people or interesting people or fascinating people or strange people in Frederick County. What was the criteria to get into the book as far as you were concerned when you were writing this?
Well, it's excuse me.
You had to be dead, right?
No, you do not have to be dead. There's Nick Diaz is in the book,
that's
for example,
true. And Nick is wild
man on a motorcycle.
Yep.
The idea was that we will forget people unless there's something to remind us that they were here.
Sure.
I mean, I've written history books for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and researched the history. But the people in this book, for a large part, were unknowns on the public stage.
Okay.
And if we forget them, if we don't have a book like this, then they're forgotten forever. And I don't want that to happen to these people. They're fascinating.
Yeah. And contributed, you know, well to the community.
In some ways.
Mm-hmm.
They contributed a great deal, and other people were just people I knew who contributed to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And just scanning through the book, you have the introduction written by Chris Hawes.
Hall.
Chris Hall. I'm sorry, Chris Hall, right, local historian. Mm-hmm. And he was on our Saturday program a couple of weeks ago. They went in depth about Mount Olivet Cemetery, and it was a fascinating discussion.
Well, he's a phenomenal researcher.
Yep.
And he's got a great memory, and he just had a birthday, turned 52. And I told him that I hope that when I reach that age, I would look as good as he does.
Well, it won't be long, John, because I'm right behind you.
Right.
Then the epilogue written by Harry Covert, of course, has been on this radio program.
Yeah.
So the book features stories about everybody in between.
All the above. Well, just for example, let me throw your name out there, and you can tell me something about him. One of my old favorites, G. Lee Teets.
Beep, beep.
That's him.
Lee Teets was one of the great characters that ever graced Frederick County.
Uh-huh.
It was almost like Dink Harrison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Dink, yeah. Yo-ho.
Lee lived up at Marsville.
That's what he said.
And he would call you on the phone, and mm-hmm. if you weren't there to answer, he'd say, beep, beep, Lee Teets, and hang up. But the fascinating thing about him is there are two things he did for the reporters at the News Post.
Mm-hmm.
And for local politicians. If a local politician made a decision that he approved of, he'd send him a postcard with a pasted thumbs up. If he did something he didn't like, he'd send him a postcard with a pasted on thumbs down.
Uh-huh.
You know? But the reporters, he respected all of them, and when they did a particularly good week, he would send them pizza on Friday.
Correct.
For lunch.
Yep.
Just an extraordinary guy. But let me tell you, the boy was a pack rat. He didn't throw anything away.
Just throwing out some more names. I guess if you're a newcomer, you're not going to probably recognize a whole lot of names. If you've been here around, like, as long as I have, about 25 years, you'll know a bunch of them. And if you've been here all your life, you'll know maybe most of them. But why is Ronald Wilson Reagan listed in this book of Frederick County personalities?
Because of the effect he had on the population of the country, not just Frederick County.
Okay.
And I tell you where why I got into that was that famous poem about, I can't remember the quote now, that was used at his funeral that just inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great quote. And no, actually, he used that quote at France when he was there for the D-Day commemoration, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he used this great quote that everybody remembers, and I, everybody but me.
Do you have the quote in the book?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
We can look that up then. I other names, Mick Mastrino, fireman, coined the phrase Golden Mile.
Yes.
I think it's credit for that.
Yes.
And you got some
Jack Cosmal, who
had a theater named after
him. Has a theater named after him at Frederick Community College, but I never knew who he was.
Well, let me tell you this. When I came to Frederick in 1952, I went to Elm Street School. One of the teachers at Elm Street School was Jack Cosmal.
Really?
Wow.
Along with Bill Talley, that they've named the rec center in Frederick after.
Yeah. Sure.
And I had a teacher named Mabel Hoyler.
Yeah, Miss Hoyler.
Who was a phenomenal teacher. My mother taught at Frederick High School, and Mabel taught 8th grade. And mother would say time and time again that when her classes got to her, the first week, she could tell every student in her class that had Mabel Hoyler for English.
Mm-hmm. Well, your mother taught me.
She didn't do a very good job.
Well, don't talk about your mother like that. I like her. Ludi Horan, Winnie Crum. My gosh, you got some names here from all over the county. Beautiful names. Calvin Saylor.
We'll get John to talk about some of these names.
Frank. Yeah. About time to take a break. We're talking to you from... Happy to be with you. John Ashbery joins us from all the way up in Vermont and, well, whatever. And we're talking about his new project, his new book, which is out. It's called As Long As We Remember. And it's sort of an interesting take on this, is that we don't want to forget these names and select items that John has put in this book. And if you're a Fredericktonian, I think it's a must-read. If you're just coming to the area, it'd be nice to know how and why and what happened and how we got from where we're going. It tells you things back. Well, you'll see some of the, as John and I remember, when I grew up, this was all farmland out here, and there was no mall. There was
State Police Barracks was the end of town.
Yep. Until that big 7-Eleven came in about two doors away on the other side. That was it.
So let me ask you about some quick
interesting chapters
I see
here.
Go ahead,
Frank. Go ahead.
The Buffalo Soldiers. Of course, that was an African-American regiment, in World War II?
No. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Soldiers came during the Indian Wars.
Oh, okay, going way back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because in my neighborhood is somebody who has a little sign about the Buffalo Soldiers, and I thought, that's an interesting connection locally.
Really? Well, the connection that I drew locally was, at the time I wrote that piece, there was what to do about the Colored Men's Library on Ice Street. And this Buffalo Soldier died in Richmond. And I wrote a piece about he needs to be honored.
Right.
Because of the service he gave to the country.
Sure.
And he was, that's one reason we should have preserved the Colored Men's Library. Because at the time the Colored Men's Library was founded by Clifford Holland, there was no other library in town. It was a little different library than what we have today, in that you would go get a book and you take it out and read it for a week and then bring it back and you'd sit down with a bunch of other guys and discuss it.
Right.
Of course, The Clifford Holland happens to also have been Bill Lee's grandfather.
Which ties it all back together.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
And I've got two pieces in here about Bill Lee.
John, that still goes on today, that there's men's groups around, and I'm assuming women's groups also, that go through these book clubs or whatever. They read and they discuss it. So it's something that's continued on.
Who's Shakespeare the Lab?
That was my dog.
Ah.
And Shakespeare was a very strong part of our lives. We had a...
What kind of dog?
Yellow Lab. You know, it's mm-hmm. Shakespeare the Lab's in the title.
Mm-hmm. I didn't pay attention to Frank. I'm listening to you,
John. Okay. Well, that's not wise.
Okay. Pretty much.
But Shakespeare was one of these very special animals. And he came down with cancer. And I went down to a specialist in Gaithersburg, and they said, well, the treatment was going to run about $5,000. And I said, well, how much longer is he going to have to live? And they said, with the treatments. And they said, maybe a year. And I said, will he be in any pain? She said, most of the time. Mm-hmm. So
wasn't a hard decision.
I put Shakespeare down.
Yep.
We had another lab that Shakespeare replaced called Shiloh. And Shiloh came up with hip dysplasia. And Max Poffenbarger, the veterinarian in Walkersville, took an x-ray and said that it was the only dog he'd ever seen with a totally flat hip bone.
Mm.
No socket at all for the leg bone to fit into. So we put him down for that. But
That's the sad part of having animals, especially it's like one of the family. Which we all,
yes.
Yep. Exactly right.
Here's a name, I recognize, Bertha Crum Kennedy.
The Bob Miller lady.
Bob Miller and I, for several years, would make a yearly visit to her on Kinkling Day.
Bertha was a character.
Yes.
Amen. Of the First Order.
Yes.
And
she lived off South Market Street, in that neighborhood near School
Mount
for the
Olive
Deaf.
Boulevard.
She lived on Clark Place.
Clark Place. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You were close, Frank. Same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about Bertha was, Bertha was born on East Church Street in an apartment behind what is now Keeney Bassett Funeral Home.
Hmm.
And she was named after Bertha Trail.
From the Trail Mansion.
Who owned the Trail Mansion at the time. And her father was hired to maintain the furnace, because they switched from wood stoves and everything and put in a coal furnace, and they were afraid of it, so they wanted him to, and they fixed up this apartment over the garages in the back, and Bertha was born then, and the rest is history, so to speak. And Bertha was a big member of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church on Franklin Street.
Correct. Still there.
And that's the only church that, well, no, not the only one, but when that church opened in 1924, it was debt-free. And the reason it was debt-free was Bertha Trail.
Mm.
And so until she died, Bertha Kennedy went to St. Timothy's.
Ah.
So
there is an imposing picture of you on the back of this book, John. Right. It's like somebody I wouldn't want to mess with. No, it's a great picture.
That's from Turner Studios.
Okay.
That was a picture that was in Frederick Magazine when Scott Grove interviewed me on Francis Scott Key for Frederick Magazine.
You knew him personally, didn't you?
Who? Francis Scott Key? Yes.
No, I thought it was Scott Grove.
Well, Francis Scott Key and I were close.
That's what
buddies.
I thought that's what you were going to say. Well, John, I appreciate it. There's a lot more people to put in this book, so that this will be the first of the series. I think, I hope.
No, I think...
Stop slowing down. You're not going to slow down.
Well, the one book I've been researching now for 40 years that I have not been able to get enough information to put out in the book is on the seven Medal of Honor winners, or seven men who were awarded the Medal of Honor that had a direct connection to Frederick County.
Oh,
and the last one was 1876 in the Indian Wars.
2019, what do you think you've been so knowledgeable about some of the inside goings-on in Frederick County over the years? What do you think of Frederick County in 2019?
I'm not really impressed.
Really?
There are things going on with our county. There's nobody covers county government like I did for 20 years.
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing that raised my ire this past week was... this appointment to the Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this young lady ran for the Board of Education, and then when she didn't come out
Well, she withdrew.
She came through the primary, but then dropped out so that another candidate wouldn't get elected.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of cheap to me.
What do you think about the ethics, though?
Well, here's the thing about the ethics. The chairman of the ethics panel for Frederick County is a retired Board of Education administrator.
Wow. Who is that, John?
Steve Hess.
Yeah, I remember that name from the board, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, here's, and I don't know that Steve didn't recuse himself from the decision they made to allow these two people on the board of, on the county council to decide on who their boss is going to be.
Well,
I mean, Frank, did you get that chance?
No.
And you've had several here.
Yeah.
In your 24 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tim has so many bosses he can't imagine.
Amen.
Hands and feet. He doesn't
exactly.
But you never got to pick one of them, did you?
No, sir. Absolutely not.
Well, John, call in when you got something to say about some of these local happenings.
They don't care what I think anymore.
You still got your website, The Tentacle?
Yes, I do.
And Harry still writes for you.
Yes.
He's a good promoter of you, John, and
well,
through him.
Harry, you need to get Harry back in here and talk about his 10 or 12 years with Jerry Falwell at Liberty University.
I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, he has some fascinating stories to tell.
Wow.
About how, well, like the Morrow Majority, how it came to be known as the Morrow Majority that Jerry Falwell started. Those, I mean, they're just fascinating stories he can tell.
Look forward to that.
John Ashbery, thank you for coming in. Thank you for taking time out of your day.
You're cutting me off all for early.
Well,
Frank, you know how it goes.
You can stay around for days as far as I'm concerned. I'm nowhere to go.